Yes, the talk show host nightmare. Lines fill up before the news, then everybody drops off during the news. Thanks a lot for your patience, guys. Really appreciate it, loves. Yeah. So, a topic. Even the nice old lady we were talking to, she didn't want to hang out. I guess I don't really blame anybody for not wanting to be on hold for 10 minutes listening to commercials and news. So, anyway, talking to you guys about... I mean, there are just so many things. I mean, so many aspects to this. For example, how come so few, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. There's always the possibility. It happens once every decade or so. Maybe I'm wrong, but is it me? Or do your kids not want to get married? Do they not want to get married? As in legally married. And how about you? Now, some of you have been there, done that, and were so traumatized by the experience that as far as forget about dating. Who cares? It's just not on your horizon, just not something that you wish to do. What are, for example, as far as your life strategy is concerned, what is it? Is it to be married? Is it to be single with no attachments? Is it to be single with an unmarried partner and you live under separate roofs? Is it to be single but you live under the same roof? I'm kind of curious where you are on this, especially the younger generation, which at this point is pretty much anybody under the age of dead. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And you know, again, one of the topics I got to get into here is, do opposites attract, or is it better to have somebody with whom you have a lot in common? And I would argue that it is optimal to have somebody with whom you have a lot in common. Like, I'd say 80% in common, but as far as the daily skills that you need to live, I think it's good if 20%, and these are just round numbers, if 20% of the dynamic of the relationship is complementary, and that doesn't mean you look awfully swell in that dress, that's a cute butt you've got, doesn't mean that. It just means you've got your stuff, and he's got his stuff, and you take care of each other's needs that they really might not be good at doing. Maybe it's laundry. Maybe you're a guy who's like really awesome at getting stains out of clothes. That's a great life skill. Nothing like a little Fells naphtha soap. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm astonished at the number of people from whom I have heard Facebook and otherwise, who just have no desire at all, not even to marry, but even to get involved in a serious relationship. I mean, isn't that why Tinder came into being? Tinder was for people who just wanted a little loving, just a little non-committal loving, which, you know, which has its place, not going to lie. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. What are you looking for? What are you looking for in someone of the opposite sex? Come on, gang. Let's put it this way. If you're gay, I don't care. Tell me what you're looking for if somebody of the same sex or gender at birth. So you got to add all these qualifiers now to everything I say, lest I pronoun offend somebody, which would send me down to HR, I'm quite sure. My life, though, there's Mr. and Mrs. And Ms., and that's about it. Male or female, duality, and a very rare percentage of genuine hermaphrodites, because if we follow the science, that's what science says. Russell in Middleport, you're on WBEN. Tell us a story.
So I completely agree with you about having a complementary marriage. I think that's huge. And I think you really have to be dedicated, which is something that the millennial generation isn't interested in doing. I'm not trying to trash the whole generation, but everything is about me, right? They had to have... even their army recruitment videos had to be an army of one because they're incredibly solitary units. And I'm almost on the cusp of being a millennial. I don't want to be included in that group, but
well,
I'm
millennials.
39.
Okay, well, for those who don't know, I think I should point this out. Millennials are those born between 1981 and 1996.
Yeah, see, I don't like that group because that puts me in with the millennials, and I don't want to be there. But
well, dude, I'm a late baby boomer. I'm like a cuss baby boomer.
But you know, it takes dedication. You can't just run away from a marriage because something gets tough. A marriage is work. It's not easy. And I think too many people have become comfortable with, well, if this doesn't work, we're going to get a divorce. And that shouldn't even be in your mind. If you're going to stand in front of the altar, you're going to make that vow, that shouldn't even be on your brain. You're not committed right from the get-go, if that's your thought.
Okay. The only exception that I would have to make to that is one that I have learned from lawyers who've experienced many bitter tears and many horrible disappointments. At the bottom line, and this goes particularly for older people who are entering a marriage with assets of their own, you really have to understand that the way the law views marriage has nothing to do with commitment, has nothing to do with who's banging who on the side. It has everything to do with a business arrangement. So if you're going into a marriage and you have assets, she has assets, or maybe she has assets and you don't have any assets, it makes very good sense to have a prenuptial agreement in place. That doesn't mean you want to get a divorce. It doesn't mean you anticipate a divorce. A prenuptial agreement to me is basically kind of like life insurance. You really should have it, but you hope you never have to use it. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that?
I would absolutely agree with that. And I completely agree with that. Now, I've never been someone who had to worry about that. I really don't have anything to my name that would, you know, I would need to do that with. But I completely agree with that. Now, having said what I said, if you have two people who are committed to each other, they'll laugh that off and go, okay, fine, we're going to put this in place. Hope we never have to use it. But there are all kinds of stories of people who have said, you know, I think we should get this prenuptial agreement, and that was a complete deal breaker. Really?
You got all the way
to this far, and you say, let's sign a piece of paper, and that's the deal breaker? How in love were you with this person if when they said, can you sign this, you said, that's it, I'm walking away?
I think you raise an excellent point. And frankly, don't laugh, But the last time I was single, that was like one of my first things that I brought up. So let's say this goes somewhere. You know, you realize I would never pursue anything without a prenuptial agreement, right? No, it didn't scare anybody off.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, if somebody, it does not mean, I think this is important when we talk about prenuptial agreements, it doesn't mean you want the marriage to fail. It doesn't mean that you're going to go out and try to get caught screwing around. Doesn't mean that. It, like I said, it's like insurance. If you want to get married, if you're planning on getting married, and this comes from a guy who's been divorced now for over 30 years, so does that make me kind of like a virgin again? Maybe. No, it doesn't. So, but anyway, the whole idea of a prenup is, again, and especially the older you are, I think the more important prenuptial agreements are, because presumably, of course, in the student loan generation, I'm not sure if this is actually the case, but, you know, presumably you have built up and accrued some assets. You've got real property. You've got personal property. You've got retirement accounts. And in the event of a divorce, remember, the law couldn't care about Cupid shooting his bow into your gluteus maximi. Okay, all it looks at marriage as is basically a business arrangement.
I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, I have family, an uncle that went through a divorce, and he lost his father's house. He built it with his own hands, but he lost it to the divorce.
Oh, yeah. But you know, conversely, I heard a couple of stories over the summer of women who waived everything. Like, okay, the marriage is over, keep your retirement account, keep this, keep that, keep this, keep that. I'm going to do this on my own. I did not get that lucky during my divorce, but that's another story altogether. But so what as a kind of a millennial kind of guy, although you don't like to be called a millennial, for what is it that you find yourself looking?
Well, now I'm married. I've been married for 10 years. And,
well, at least I was going to say Filipino lady boy, but.
No, not at all.
Okay,
but,
just curious.
I had been in a very serious relationship before I got married, and that ended horribly. But that relationship was almost 10 years, and we made really good friends. But as far as anything deeper than that, it was a constant fight. Now, my wife and I, we had been friends since high school, and it just became time to start dating, and we found that that worked a lot better. Now, her and I, we have some differences with things that we like to do, but our core similarities are right on par. And I think you have to have differences. You have to be able to go off and do your own thing, but you have to want to be together and want to work at it.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't freak out if you're a guy. I mean, you can't freak out if she says it's girls' night out, and if the dude says it's boys' night out. Now, if girls' night out becomes every Friday, and you know she gets extra spiffy doing it, and she's been hitting the gym a lot and maybe improving the wardrobe, you might have a problem there. And as she starts hiding her cell phone, you might have a problem there. And the same thing with the dude.
Well, I completely agree with you. And I mean, what you're touching on is trust. And you cannot have a successful marriage if there's no trust.
Bingo.
You know, my wife had a very good friend of hers, who is now a friend of mine, a college roommate. He's a guy. And we had only been married for a year. The guy lives in California. And, you know, she said, oh, he's coming out. We haven't seen each other in forever, and he's going to come for this visit. Now, I did not have a single problem with that, never questioned it at all. But it was because of the relationship that we had built. I had no reason to not trust that.
Right.
And he's a great guy, and they're just friends, and it's, you have to be able to trust your spouse, and trust is something that destroys a marriage instantly.
Well, okay, that you raise another question upon which there are many differences of opinion, and the question is obvious, and it is, can a man and a woman remain platonic friends, or more often than not, does it cross the line into behavior, even textual, well, either textual or sexual or verbal, where it crosses the line? What's the experience?
Well, you know what?
I mean, obviously, you've had a good experience, but.
Well, yes, but I will answer your question with something that my wife told me. And she was very honest with me one time. She goes, you know, people like to pretend that they're not attracted to other people when they're in a marriage. And that's a complete falsity. You're a human being. To not find, you know, if you're a heterosexual guy and you see a hot woman walking by, if you're going to pretend that you don't find that woman attractive, that's a complete lie. You're lying to your spouse, you're lying to yourself. So the way that my wife had worded it was, of course you're going to find people attractive. It's what you do with that that gets you in trouble. If you look and say, wow, that person's attractive, and then you look away, that's something responsible to do. If you cannot help yourself and you get yourself in a situation where you are one-on-one with someone of the opposite sex, alone, no one else around, you're asking for trouble.
I would love to hear stories about that. I would love to hear stories either backing up your theory or shooting it down. I'm just saying. Yeah, but I think your wife is right. But, dude, the smart play. I mean, listen to me giving advice. I'm not a psychologist, by the way. Even if you see somebody, but you're out with your beautiful wife, you see somebody that you kind of think is attractive, you know what? Don't even look. Just keep your eyes solely focused on your wife. Don't even let them
wander. I never said you weren't going to get a smack in the head.
Right. Don't even let them wander. And I tell you something. I don't know if this happens to you. I don't know how often you go out or the places you go, but one of the things that amazes me is, and I find this is more true with women than it is with men, that the woman in a partnership excuses herself to go to the girls' room. You're standing alone. It is obvious that you are with somebody, and the minute the woman goes to the ladies' room, suddenly you feel like the dying hyena on the Serengeti being attacked by vultures. The funniest thing is when you go out alone, okay, you automatically people assume there's something wrong with this guy. There's something wrong with this young lady. She's here alone. That's interesting. That's a red light. That's a warning flag right there. But you could be the exact same person and show up with another living human being of the opposite sex, and suddenly you become Brad Pitt.
Because you've added to the game, right?
And that's, you know what, I got to tell you, I think women play games more than men play games.
They're not going to admit it to you, though.
I hope they do. I hope they'd call in and argue with it, because I'm sorry, I go out a lot. I see it all the time. Women love to play games. And I'm telling you, for some women, and I think it's a pretty large percentage, it's all about, hey, can I get this guy away from this woman? I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm just saying. And, again, you don't have to be. I mean, one of the things I laugh about is, the dream man is tall, dark, and handsome. Really? Okay, maybe he is to some people, but, you know, tall, dark, and handsome and former felon, I don't know that that makes a lot of sense, personally.
No.
I mean, violent felon. I know quite a few felons who are good people, actually. But, anyway, I thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. We're getting a sense for where you are in what you want out of a relationship. Do you want marriage? Do you want to date a whole bunch of people? What are your turnoffs? Ladies, what are you looking for? Men, what are you looking for, both in terms of the larger concept of relationship and the specific qualities of the person with whom you would like to be? I'm curious. I'm very curious about this because human behavior never fails to amaze me. And I really want to hear from people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and I don't know, maybe early 50s. And God forbid I've reached the age where early 50s seems young to me. Oh, God. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit when I said that. Sorry. 803, it's the same feeling I get when I listen to Starland Vocal Band. 803-0930. And Charlene. Star 930 on the cell phone. And don't you dare, Tanner. Don't even think about it. And 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly. More calls coming up. It's a bad time to call, but when Tom Puckett slides into the commercials at the bottom of the hour, that'll be a good time to call on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm not going to keep you on hold any longer than I have to. You know why? Because I don't like being on hold myself. So I try to be very respectful of your time on WBEN. Do we give Tanner a thumbs up or a thumbs down on this? Go the thumbs up. All right, it is Bowerly. See if you can't find a Vanilla Fudge song for the next hour. I've got an idea for you there, just so you know, Tanner. Tanner Saunders behind the glass at Master Control, making the magic happen. Okay, I'm just going to throw out this question one more time because, you know, when I brought it up as an ancillary topic in the past, people have called in and said, oh, I got to get my 2 cents worth in on this. And then I bring it up as a topic and it's like, what, would you rather have a root canal, maybe an extraction? What are your plans in life, especially those of you 20s, 30s, and 40s, maybe early 50s, which now seems young to me, which is quite disturbing. But do you want to be married? How come you're not married? Is it a question of you just keep meeting the wrong people? And some people, and I think this is more true with women than men, some women want to fix the hurt little birdie. And you can't fix it, okay? I'm sorry. You cannot fix the hurt little birdie. It's never going to happen, no matter how much you try. Some people are damaged beyond your ability to do anything with them, and you're better off looking elsewhere. And I'm sorry to say that, but I just happen to think that that's the truth based on many years of personal observation. So what are you, if you're a woman, okay, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, tell me something. What are you looking for in a man? What do you notice first about a guy? I'm not going to say what I'm going to. Sorry, visions of Hickory Farms just went through my head. Do you? no. What do you notice first about a guy, and what will suck you in as a woman? And one of the things I tell guys, and again, you don't have to be a great-looking guy to end up with beautiful women. And that is the biggest mistake that men make. They automatically assume that a beautiful woman is totally out of their reach. And you know what? She might be. But like anything, life is a numbers game. And you could stand at one end of the ice and shoot pucks at the empty net at the other end of the ice, and chances are most of your shots are going to go wide. But you shoot 100 pucks, 5 of them should go into the net, okay? So if you give it 100 chances, you should do okay 5% of the time. Instead of just sitting back there and doing nothing except ogling and staring and being afraid to go up to somebody. So, ladies, what is it about a man that turns you on in 2023? Is it brilliant conversational skills? Is it charisma? Is it a magnificent personality? Or is it a great ass? That would be one of the questions I would ask. And the same thing with men. Men, I'm a guy. I mean, what turns you on most about a woman? What is it? And I will tell you from personal experience that the single biggest aphrodisiac for a lot of guys, I don't think I'm unique in this at all, is what's between the ears, the brain power. Now, look, obviously, and I'm not trying to be contradictory here, obviously, you have to have a chemistry, okay? There's got to be some kind of mutual physical attraction. I'm sorry. I know it sounds very superficial. I know it sounds very shallow, but it's true. You have to have a physical attraction to somebody if it's going to go anywhere, because if you think, well, she's terribly smart, but she kind of looks like she stepped out of a specimen box. It's probably not going to last, because you're going to think, you know what, I can do better for myself. So there's got to be a physical attraction. Keeping in mind Tom's caveat, which is looks are the first to go. Now, there's also, guys, I'm sure you've heard this. There's also something that you need to know about. And if you haven't heard this in the movies or pop culture or friends haven't told you, and you know where I'm going with this, it's called the mom test. Look at her mother, her biological mother, at the age of 50, 60, 40, whatever the age happens to be. And chances are, genetics being genetics, that's what you're buying into right there, okay? And keep in mind something else. And, you know, men, look, people gain weight typically as they get older, okay? Men tend to put it on around the midsection. And again, a lot of it's genetic. I get that. Women tend to put it on in the butt. And a woman's greatest enemy as far as keeping weight off or losing weight, if they are predisposed to being overweight, say it with me, it's the M word, hot flash menopause. Ladies going through menopause, all I can tell you is you have my unrelenting and unwavering sympathy. Menopause has got to absolutely suck. because not only are you going through emotional and hormonal things, but you're also, wait a minute, I just looked at a Fruit Loop and I gained 5 pounds. I mean, I've heard that's a big problem. And again, the hot flashes, they're not a lot of fun. I mean, I know quite a few women who are menopausal or perimenopausal, and it's not a lot of fun. And I don't think men could really handle menopause, although I do believe there's such a thing as manopause. I really do, because last night, I don't know what the deal was. I was sweating like a pig last night. It was bad. And I had to take my coat off a couple of times, even though it was like 62 degrees outside. I could not stop perspiring. Like, what the hell is going on here? Then I realized, menopause. Got it. 803-0930. What are you looking for in life as far as a relationship? What are you looking for in terms of the other person with whom you wish to be? And I've been talking about this, the duality of male and female, but that's just one paradigm. I don't care if you're lesbian. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're bi. It does not matter on this show. Those are things that on my list of important things in life, I could not care less, because what you are is what you are. And, be happy with yourself and accept yourself. I mean, unless you're a serial killer, then kill yourself. But 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Are there deal breakers for you? Personally, are there deal breakers? I would be very interested in knowing what the deal breakers are for 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. Look, some people have a hard and fast line, okay, about what is an absolute deal breaker. Some of the deal breakers that I heard over the summer were, I can't give too much away here because people are going to know. All right. Some of the deal breakers are, and this is for older people. Okay. So do you have kids living at home? That can be a deal breaker, because if you want to get married to somebody, you don't want to move into a situation, perhaps, where you're going to basically be like the Brady Bunch and suddenly you become Mike Brady. I don't know why I'm mentioning the Brady Bunch so much, but you might end up in a situation like that. And I think it's important that you have an understanding that, barring exigent, unusual, or tragical circumstances, your house is for you. And you're not going to be a hotel for your children. Okay, that sounds good. Unless, of course, they are your natural children and you're the mom and she's the dad, et cetera. Then that changes things a little bit. But when it's a stepkid and you're trying to build a relationship with the new person in your life, I'm sure there's stories out there about how stepkids have gummed up the works. You know, they want to chase the new dude or the new lady out of the house before the will gets changed. I've heard stories like this, guys. I mean, this is the real world. What do you want me to say? Other deal breakers. Again, a big one is substance abuse. If you're with somebody who is doing drugs, even legal drugs like alcohol, or abusing other drugs, that's a huge reason for divorce. Look it up. Substance abuse is way up there on the list of why people end up separating. Another one is disagreements over money and finances. And you don't think about, a lot of people don't think about this stuff before they get married. But you have got to have, my opinion, I'm not a marriage counselor, I'm not with the financial guys, but my opinion is, you need to have an understanding about finances going into a marriage situation. Because let's face it, some of you spend like drunken sailors, and some of you are very thrifty, and you have to have somebody in charge of the finances, and you have to have a budget. Okay, because clearly some of us throw away a lot of money that we really shouldn't. But hey, can't take it with you. 803-0930. Is any of this hitting with you guys, or am I like throwing the ball into the dirt here? Are you going to steal home from third base on me? 803-0930. Because I could go on all 4 hours about this topic. Okay. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Because I don't know about you, but I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. Okay, come on. I worked a Charlene reference into this topic. That in itself should put me in the Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Fame. Thank you. Bowerly, and I got to tell you, man, I'm going to switch gears after 4 o'clock. Okay, I'm going to get into some other things. I really thought that this was going to be a kick-butt topic based on other shows that we have done where it's just come up as a side piece. Side piece topic. So it's just come up as like an ancillary topic. That would be a more polite way to phrase that. And people call in like crazy. So then the one day I set aside to say, okay, you younger people, what do you want out of your life? Do you want marriage? Do you want to be single? Do you want to be a serial dater? What are the check marks that have to be met in the box? And it was like pulling teeth. And I'm not going to continue. And look, that's on me. I misjudged you. I misjudged your love for me, and it's happened before a few times, and not going to lie, I'm a little bit bilious about the whole situation, but, you know, I mean, we're going to overcome. I mean, I threw like 3 interceptions, 1 fumble, I mean, in the first half of the show. Sound familiar? But anyway, you know, we're going to get into some other things, but in all seriousness, I really wonder what America is going to look like demographically in 20 years, not in terms of the racial component of America, but in terms of the ratio of married people to unmarried people. And I am, I'm amazed at the number of people who say they do not wish to be married. I would say, look, it's not a scientific poll. It's not done according to the principles of social research and statistics or anything like that. But there was a time where if I'd said, how many of you want to get married at some point, at least 80% of the people would have called in and said, well, of course. In fact, I've already been married for 50 years, 20 years. And the other 20% would have been Carmelite nuns. Or who married to Jesus. So I'm just saying. So I'm going to switch gears, I think, at 4 o'clock, unless this guy wants to hold on. Because you know what I'd really like to talk about too? I would like to talk about student loan debt. And I don't want to talk about forgiveness of student loan debt. I want to talk about how student loan debt is crippling you, or how student loan debt is crippling your children. Because if you don't think that student loan debt is a major source of discussion among the families of Western New York and the United States right now, my dear love, you are out of touch, because it is. So I'm going to get into that in the next hour. That subject is something I've been meaning to do, and I think today would be a fine day to whip it out, and I'll do it after 4. Is that cool? I'll set the show up, and I'll see if how many people hold on for the love show, and then I'll take those calls, and then I'll switch on to something else on News Radio 930 WBEN. After 5:30, by the way, we're going to get some information on how you can actually buy a fire truck, a used fire truck. As much as I'd like one, there is no way the future Mrs. Bowerly is going to allow me to fritter my money away on a used fire truck, okay? She's the thrifty one. I am the I'm the wastrel. 803, oh, it's a great word, wastrel. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly, 3 minutes before 4, and the news with Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN.